From the scriptures that we read earlier tonight, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and verse 21. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 17. Isaiah 33 and verse 17 says, Thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. Thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. Two different scriptures. The first one, of course, is when the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, and these Greek men, whoever they were, had heard about the Savior. Most probably they were proselytes, or what they would refer to as believers at the gate, that had an adherence. Although they were Greeks, they had an adherence to the Jewish faith at that particular time. That is why they have come up to Jerusalem, and they've heard about Jesus that performed miracles, Jesus that taught wonderful truths, Jesus that raised Lazarus from the dead, because the scripture says that many came to see Jesus, not only because it was him, but because they wanted to see Lazarus as well. And this is their request. Sir, this talking to Philip. Why Philip? Maybe it's because Philip is a Greek name. He was Jewish, but he had a Greek name, Philip. So most probably they might have heard his name being called out. I don't know, I'm just speculating, of course. And they would have gone to him, being Greeks, and said, Sir, we would see Jesus. So that is what this text is all about. And then Jesus begins to unfold about his death and so forth. What about the other scripture? In the book of Isaiah, Thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. Well, it referred to King Hezekiah. What was taking place at that particular time was there was an assault by the Assyrian king Sennacherib upon Jerusalem. Hezekiah was in a dreadful state, and the people were in a dreadful state as well. And Hezekiah had taken off his old clothes, and put on sackcloth and ashes as he cried before God. And the prophet Isaiah comes along, and he encourages the people. And this is what he says. Thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. What did that mean? It simply meant this. What you're looking at the moment is a humbled king. But there is coming a day when he shall put on his beauty, his glory, his majesty again, his robes of splendor. Don't worry, people of Judah. This is not the last you're going to see of your king. but your king will put on royal robes again. Now, I want to take that verse there and apply it to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is something messianic about that expression. Whilst Isaiah referred to Hezekiah at that particular time, yet there is something beyond that where he is saying to us, your eyes will see the king in his beauty. So tonight I want to talk about seeing Jesus. And there is a lot in relation to the face of God and the face of Jesus in the scripture. And I've got quite a few scriptures that I want to share with you. So we're going to go through some of these, but there are many, many more in the Word of God that talks about the face of God and the face of the Lord Jesus. Let me just commence then by giving you some wonderful scriptures. You see, seeking the face of God was an act of communion. It was an act of relationship. Psalm 27, verse 8 through to 14. This is what he says. When you said, seek ye my face, my heart said, your face will I seek. So the psalmist was one that believed that in communion with God, it was a matter of seeking the face of the Almighty. Do you remember that time when Jacob, frightened because he wondered what his brother Esau was going to do, he passed over the brook Jabbok, and he had an encounter with God, and God transformed him that particular night, and his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. Well, the scripture says, and Jacob called the place Peniel, which simply means the face of God. Because it goes on to say, for I have seen God face to face. I have seen God face to face. In the book of Exodus, in the 33rd chapter and verse 11, in relation to Moses, the Bible tells us, and the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face. It's communion, it's relationship with God. It's not religion, it's a relationship. It's coming into an encounter, an intimate encounter with God. When Solomon built the temple, which was to the glory of God, and everything seemed to be so well, everybody was... Well, they'd experienced the presence and the might and the glory of God coming down upon their temple, and they fell on their faces, and everybody seemed to be in tune at that particular time with God. And that night, Solomon went to prayer, and God spoke. And this is what God said to him, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and listen, and seek my face. Then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and heal their land. I believe that if we are going to see a sovereign move of God again within our nation, the people of God have got to earnestly seek the face of God, to wait upon the Lord. The psalmist cried, God, be merciful, cause your face to shine upon me, illuminate your face in me. There's a beautiful old hymn. I think it was Horatius Bonar, the greatest, one of the great Scottish preachers, wrote, "Dwelling in the secret place, overshadowed by his grace, looking up into his face, seeing only Jesus." And that is what the Lord wants for each and every one of us tonight, that we might seek his face, that we may dwell in the secret place, that we might look up into his face and see only Jesus. Robert Browning, the 19th century poet, said this, "My God, my God, let me for once look on thee. Let me for once look on thee, as though naught else existed, we alone." How beautiful that is. How intimate that is. Here is this poet. His desire is that he might have this intimate relationship with God, in fellowship with God. And so what we are going to do tonight, we're going to just briefly look at some of the expressions on the face of the Master. I don't know what Jesus looked like. I really don't know. There's been no portrait in any portrait gallery that has ever shown the face of the Master. Oh, Leonardo da Vinci has tried. Holman Hunter has endeavored to paint the face of Christ. But we don't really know what the physical face of Jesus was like. But tonight we can describe something of what his face looked like. The various aspects of the face of Christ. And the first aspect is the serene face of the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 2, where he is up there on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And the Bible says, his face did shine as the sun. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the scripture, we see the serenity of the face of Christ, the serenity of his character, of his conduct, of his conversation, of his cause. There is something serene that comes through as we gaze upon the Master's face, as we look upon him. Never man spoke like this man, but never man looked like this man either. Something very special. I remember reading many, many years ago about a Christian minister that was traveling in a carriage somewhere in the north of England in a train. And another man was in there, and he said to him, "I hope you don't mind me saying this, but there is something in your face that is different." And he began to witness to him and tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how it should be, really. There should be a serenity about the saint's face. "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonderful passion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." Here is the mystery and the magnificence of his holiness being seen. And here on the mount is a glimpse of the glory and the beauty, the effulgence of the presence of the eternal God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 2 and verse 11 it says, after the miracle in Cana of Galilee, it says, this the beginning of miracles and manifested forth his glory. The supreme or the serene face of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is another expression in the face of Christ, and it is this. It's a sorrowful face. A sorrowful face. Luke chapter 22 and verse 61, it says, and the Lord turned and looked on Peter. Do you remember that time in Pilate's judgment hall? Looked on Peter, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. The look of the Master was a look of sorrow at the denial of Peter, as Peter denied his Master that he loved and served and walked with for 3 years. And there was the look of sorrow that appeared on his face. I wonder tonight, when he looks upon you and he looks upon me, what does he see? Is it a look of sorrow? Does he see, like Peter, the look of denial? Does he see, like the other disciples, the look of desertion? What does he see? Does he see, as he looks upon your heart and mine, the look of disinterest, total disinterest in him? There is a face of sorrow that looks upon and searches our hearts tonight and brings us to that place where, like the psalmist of old that said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. You see, the scripture tells us that the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The sorrowful face. His face is against them that do evil. I'm going to ask you a personal question, and I don't expect you to answer me, but I expect you to answer yourself. And it is this. Have you let the Lord down? Maybe this week, this past year, have you failed the Lord? Does he look upon you with sorrow? My old principal in Bible college, he was a quaint man. He was a Canadian Presbyterian. And he had such a walk with the Lord. He was a godly man. And I can always remember him saying, how does the Lord look upon us when he sees our failure? And he likened it unto a boy that was away in private school. This boy thought so much of his father. And the boy got into a lot of trouble, brought before the headmaster, and he was expelled from this salubrious school. What was the biggest shame, my principal would say? What was the biggest shame for that boy? Was it having to face the headmaster? No. Was it having to face all the other pupils? No. The biggest shame was when he got on the train, he went home, and he saw his father's face, the face of sorrow. Son, you've let me down. You've let me down. Does the Lord look upon you like that at this time? You've let me down. You failed me. you failed me. The look of sorrow. And very quickly moving on, there's so much that we've got to say in relation to this. The scorn face of Jesus. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 67, the scripture says, and they spit on his face. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 6 says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. He endured the worst humiliation and injuries. Spitting has always been looked upon as repulsive. And people that spit at others, it is a look and an expression, not only of vulgarity, but it is an expression of resentment and anger and loathing. And yet, my precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he endured the spitting and the shame for me. He endured this mocking and this loathing by those around him. They cursed him. They looked upon him with disdain. This precious Savior, this serene face of Jesus. Oh, when I think of that, the serene face of Jesus mocked for me, spat upon by those that cursed him and those that afflicted him. But it gets worse. It goes on, and the scripture talks not only about the scorned face of Jesus, but the scarred face of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 14, his visage was marred more than any man. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, says one translation. You know, the world is not friendly to godliness. You know that, don't you? This world is not a friend of godliness. And when you become godly, you have an enemy outside. And with the Savior, they scarred him and they marred him. This holy Lamb of God that came to save the world was scorned and scarred by the very world that he came to save. The precious Lamb of God, scarred for you and scarred for me. You know, sometimes my imagination begins to wander at times, and I begin to think about different things. And as I was meditating upon this, I thought, I wonder who placed the first scar upon Jesus' face. And I thought, maybe it was Judas. Do you remember in the garden, Judas came up to him and he placed a kiss on the Master's cheek. Surely that was not a kiss of love and devotion. Maybe that was the first scar. Oh, a scar not seen by physical eyes, but a scar nevertheless of the heart, the betrayer and the betrayed. A kiss scarring the face of the Lord Jesus. And the scripture tells us that his face was marred more than any other. One thing that people don't like about Christianity, it's in relation to suffering, the suffering Christ, the crucified Christ. They can't handle it. They can't handle the fact of a sacrifice being made for sin. And this is what was happening here at this time. The world looked upon him and they marred his face and scarred his face in such a horrible way. Well, very quickly, I'm going to talk now about the stern face of Jesus. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 6. Oh, what, that's a book too. We all understand that book, don't we? The book of Revelation. We all can read through that and think, oh, that's easy to understand. I've just read through the book of Revelation twice, and I just said to the Lord, Lord, I'm more confused than ever before over this book. But in the book of Revelation, it said, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. There's coming a final day of judgment when the small and the great shall stand before him. Will you stand before him on that day of judgment? And will you see the serene face of Christ, or will you see the stern face of Christ? The sorrowful face of Christ. How will you stand in that day? Let me tell you, I've heard people flippantly talk about Jesus as our best pal, I'm talking about Christians now. And you know, high five Jesus and all, which to me is blasphemy. Jesus had 12 disciples. One of them, the young man, John, we've read from his gospel tonight. John was very close to the Lord. The scripture says he leaned upon the bosom of the Master. Listen, don't get anything, looking into anything there about something that is untoward. You've only got to go to India and you can see manly men. They will just lean on each other. They do that in the East. But there is nothing sexual about it or anything like that. So here is John that leans upon the Master. He's in intimate relationship with the Master. And now he's not a young man anymore. He's in fact in his 90s. He's been put on Patmos, an island, a small island, just off Greece and Turkey. He has the revelation come to him. And suddenly he has a vision of Jesus, whose eyes were as a flame of fire, his hair as white as wool, sword in his hand. And do you know what he said? Did he say, oh, it's good to see you again, Jesus? No. He didn't say that. This is what he said. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. When I saw him, the glorified second person of the Trinity, in all his flames of glory, fell at his feet as dead. The stern face of the Master. Well, let's conclude tonight. The sovereign face of the Master. Again, in the book of the Revelation, chapter 22, verses 3 and 4. There shall be no more curse. This is when we get to heaven. This is incredible. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. Listen to this. His servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Isn't that beautiful? They shall see his face. I believe that's a physical seeing. Job, he said these words. He said, whom I shall see for myself. So Job had that revelation in his heart. I'm going to see my Lord, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me, said Job. I'm going to see him. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. To see the Lord. To see who he is. And the scripture tells us this. That the pure in heart shall see God. The pure in heart shall see God. The scripture makes it clear that right now we can see the face of the Master and he can reflect in us. Remember, Moses came down from the mountain, didn't he? And he'd seen God face to face, the scripture says. And do you know what the people did? They could not look upon the face of Moses because he had been in the presence of God. And do you know what they did? They took out their handkerchiefs and they covered their faces because they could not behold such glory. And Paul, writing these words, he says that we reflect in a mirror the glory of the Lord. In other words, his face shining through our face. I love those words, and again, it's Horatius Bonar. He wrote those words, when we come around the Lord's table, that act of communion and that act of relationship with him. He said, here, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. Hear what I touch and handle things unseen. Hear, O my Lord. When we come around the Lord's table the next time, just say, hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. We look briefly tonight at the serene face of Christ, the sorrowful face of Christ, the scarred face, the stern face. And we have seen here the sovereign face. It is a face to behold. But coming back to the psalmist, he said, when thou said, seek my face, oh, inside me, my heart said, Lord, I'm going to seek your face. Can you say the same? If you go to the Walker Museum in Liverpool, there is a painting there. And most probably you've seen it in picture books and whatever. It is a painting of the Civil War. And a royalist family have been taken. And the little boy, he is dressed in fine royal clothing. And sat there is a colonel of the parliamentarian army. And he asked this little boy a question. The boy's mother and sister, they're sort of cowering at the back, just so concerned what he's going to say. And the question is this. When did you last see your father? When did you last see your father? And I'm going to put that question to you tonight, every single one of us. When was the time we were in our Father's presence that we gazed upon Him? Maybe some of you might say, I've never experienced it. I believe you can experience it. There is nothing more precious, nothing more intimate, nothing more real that being in His presence. You see, in His presence there's fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. And you are doing yourself a great disservice if you don't gaze upon His beautiful face. The face that was scarred for you and marred for you. Gaze upon Him tonight. When you said, seek my face, I'm responding, your face will I see. Well, there's a lovely hymn. It's not in the book, but the words are, face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him. I shall see Him by and by. Go home tonight and say with those Greeks of old, Sir, we would see Jesus. And do you know something? The message will come to you. Thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. Let's bow our heads in prayer.